506, welcome back in. Welcome to hour number two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and our producer, Kyle Mann. I'm going to take you up until 7 o'clock tonight. We still have the pair of tickets to Revolution Combat Championship Volume 14 at the U.S. Cellular Center coming up later this month, Friday, December 29th. We'll be giving those away shortly, so be listening for your chance to call 319-366-1600 to win with us. Plenty more to get to tonight. Unfortunately, we will not have Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com with us tonight. He is in some company-wide meetings in Bristol, Connecticut, so he's going to join us on the show tomorrow in lieu of Tristan, since today is probably still a very important day for many of you as you're scouring the waiver wire trying to beat other people in your league. Alex and I are going to take a stab answering your fantasy football questions. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe there's enough going on with the winter meetings that we don't have to resort to that.
You've been setting our lineup, and it seems to be working. It's not working in any other league. I just lost in our league to a guy who has 7 Detroit Lions on his team.
Yeah. I questioned that draft strategy at the onset of the season, and I looked pretty foolish. So what do I know?
He has every single Detroit Lion on his team, and I lost.
We got the 6 o'clock showdown tonight as well, and the latest going on at baseball's winter meetings. The names are starting to come out in the Marcelo Ozuna trade. 4 minor league players going to the Marlins in exchange for the 37 home run, 124 RBI outfield bat that the Cardinals have now acquired. 2 of the 4 are top 10 prospects in the Cardinals organization, but the Cardinals didn't have to give up any of their top 4 prospects in order to bring Ozuna back. So it seems like a decent, if underwhelming, return for the Marlins, who continue to tear down with Derek Jeter and the new ownership group in charge. It's part of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Is what's going on with the Marlins going to tarnish Derek Jeter's legacy, yes or no? You can vote now, again, KGYMradio.com, and check out Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast. They are located behind the Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. But pivoting back to, and I've got to get to the story about the showing the child photo to somebody and bad things happening. That's coming up here in hour number two as well. But the big story in the NFL today, other than Aaron Rodgers' impending return to the Packers this weekend, and that, I'm not getting my hopes up.
They're going to make the playoffs, Todd.
I'm not getting my hopes up. Roger Goodell has said that he is going to retire at the completion of his contract. He was just awarded a new 5-year contract by the NFL owners, much to the chagrin of Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. So let's say 2022, 5 years from now, right? 2022? Bad at math. 5, 7, 12. Yeah, 2022. What is the NFL going to look like at the end of Roger Goodell's tenure as commissioner in the league? 319-366-1600. Bring up anything related to kneeling and the anthem and any of that stupid stuff, because it's not, I'm not entertaining any of that tonight. But anything else is fair game. 319-366-1600. 5 years from now, Alex Kuhn, what does the NFL look like?
I'm not trying to be a hot take artist here, but I think it's going to be in a world of trouble. And the reason I say that, because in 2021, the CBA runs out. And the last CBA that was signed, and I don't like to sit here and explain these things to people in complicated terms, so I'll make this as simple as possible. One of the worst CBAs ever signed in professional sports.
CBA, collective bargaining agreement.
Yes, collective bargaining agreement between the Players Association and the owners.
Not the Continental Basketball Association, which I was talking about a couple nights ago with the Lacrosse Catbirds and the Yakima Sun Kings and Never did get to the bottom of what CBA team all those former Hawkeyes played on, but
it wasn't the Yakima Sun Kings. Well, regardless, this last collective bargaining agreement made it cut the rookie salary cap in half. So rookies got paid half of what they did in the past and basically pushed out retired players. And I think that it has had a very adverse effect on the product on the field because teams are so inclined, teams like the Green Bay Packers, for example, and I'm not trying to pick on them, but the Green Bay Packers, instead of going out and signing...
You're supposed to say you're not trying to offend anybody.
If I offend someone, I offend someone. Sorry, Todd. teams like the Green Bay Packers don't want to sign veteran players, and they build through the draft, and they continuously build through the draft because they know that those players they can get at a discounted rate. And with all of the things coming out about CTE and brain trauma, how much sense does it make for players and the NFL Players Association to say, yeah, we'll accept half salary that we got 10 years ago, and we're going to let our players put their bodies at harm for 5 years before they can earn a contract that is fair market value? It makes no sense. And Demoris Smith, the head of the NFLPA, has basically said that a work stoppage in 2021 is an almost certainty. And I think this is going to be an Armageddon-type situation because you're seeing the players and the owners and now even the commissioner drift apart into three separate pods. And I just can't imagine how this is going to end well. I can't imagine them coming to really any sort of agreement that will stop this work stoppage. I'm not going to say that the NFL is going to be disbanded, but no games were missed during the 2011 holdout, during the 2011 lockout. I don't think that's going to be the case in 2021.
What's the NFL look like 5 years from now? 319-366-1600. It's also the Hertin and Stocker text line. You can use that to reach out to us, Hertin and Stocker, located in downtown Iowa City. Keep them in mind as you're contemplating buying your stocking stuffers this holiday season. Is the NFL back in St. Louis?
No.
In 5 years?
No, it's not.
Is the NFL playing... Will the NFL have a franchise located outside of the contiguous 48 United States in 5 years?
No, and I think that it might even have one less team in L.A. There's already rumblings that the Los Angeles Chargers are struggling. They're not even able to fill their soccer stadium, which is absolutely incredible. If I would have told you, if I would have told you, Todd, that...
Are you 30 for 30-ing
yes,
me?
That an NFL franchise, if I would have told you this 5 years ago, that an NFL franchise would move to L.A. and couldn't sell out a soccer stadium. That's where this is heading right now. So... I don't know about the longevity of football in L.A. We'll see how the project with a new stadium goes. And I think that San Diego could actually get football back. I don't think St. Louis does, though.
366-1600, plenty of texts to get to 0211. In 2022, the NFL will have the quarterback position in bubble wrap. More rules favoring the quarterback position. It is interesting that they've got a lot to work through in the next 5 years before they get to the end of Roger Goodell's contract. CTE is not going anywhere. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Larry Johnson, former Penn State running back, came out and basically, this is about as damning as you can get. He said he is worried that he's going to be the next Aaron Hernandez. Because if he deteriorates from CTE, who knows what's going to happen? You got the cover of Sports Illustrated with all of the injured players, the illustration of all the injured players laying on the ground. Terrible week for the NFL this week.
It was awful.
There are people that are, I'm never watching the NFL again. 5 years from now, what does the NFL look like? 319-366-1600. This is a good topic, right?
Yes.
Apparently not.
But it's one of those topics that's difficult to talk about. So, I think to a certain extent, it makes people uncomfortable. to talk about this because CTE and these topics are, they're uncomfortable topics, but they're what is hindering or what is fighting against the NFL. And I don't think that the NFL really has a way around it. There's nothing that you can do to make that game completely safe.
Mike from Marengo says kickoffs probably a thing of the past.
I think that's a very, very good possibility.
You do the XFL. Remember the XFL used to have the ball at the 50-yard line and the two guys would sprint for it?
Yeah.
Like you were in elementary school in gym class playing
dodgeball?
No fair
catches. No fair catches. No, I think they're going to go the opposite way of that. The rugby. That wasn't even a rugby scrum. What was that? Yeah, like you said, a dodgeball scrum.
I'm trying to think of where I think the league is heading, because right now you've got a lot of people that don't like the product on the field, and I was reminded of that again on Monday night watching the Patriots and the Dolphins. And the Patriots are clearly a better team than the Dolphins. And yet Miami winds up winning that game, and Brady looked awful. Brady looked like he's a 40-year-old guy out there trying to do something that a 25-year-old guy should be doing, and maybe this is the end for the Patriots, although I feel like we've said that a million times. I think the biggest thing between now and in 5 years from now, and I don't know whether they can do this or not, but it goes back to the conversation that we had a couple days ago. They need to get rid of the Thursday night games because, A, they didn't realize that it was going to dilute their product as much as it did. But those bad matchups on Thursday night, they take center stage. They don't get hidden on Sundays like they normally would. And you have all of the players, Drew Brees being the latest to come out and say, your body is just not ready for Thursday night football when you're coming off a Sunday game. Just, it's a bad idea. And that's why you're seeing the low-scoring games, the massive rash of injuries on Thursday nights. The NFL seriously miscalculated the popularity of individual games by putting them. And that was the thing about Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football was great because all of the games were on Sunday, with the exception of one game. So that was just sort of your centerpiece game. Well, then it became, everybody has to have a game. Everybody's got to be featured. Let's be fair. Look, life is not fair. Nobody wants to watch the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay? They just don't. They don't even want to watch them in Tampa. So I'm fine if you said the Monday night game is going to be the biggest matchup each week, or at least a matchup that has some sort of playoff intrigue surrounding it. But no. It boils down to, well, everybody's got to have a Thursday night game, and we got to try to get as many different teams on Monday night as possible. Highlight your best games, and those are the games that people will watch. Now, I don't know whether the NFL is ever going to come to the realization that Thursday night football needs to be scrapped, but you've got enough people now, say Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees. I bet there's been at least half a dozen players this year that have publicly come out and made headlines saying Thursday night football was an awful idea.
Well, that's going to go back to what we were just talking about with the collective bargaining agreement. The players are not going to want Thursday night football anymore. And the owners are going to want to keep Thursday night football because of the money that it generates. And it doesn't even seem to matter to them that it's hurting their players. And the product is awful on Thursday night. They don't seem to have any inclination to get rid of it. So basically, we just laid out the things that those two sides are going to be arguing against each other about. And I just can't imagine any common ground. So when we're talking about Roger Goodell possibly stepping down in 2022, Todd, can you see him possibly pulling a college football coach who knows the sanctions are coming down and bolting a little bit early? It would be very much, very Roger Goodell to do that.
No, because there's no way I would walk away from that payday if I were him. Look.
He has enough money. He has made enough money.
Yeah, but show me a guy who's rich, and I will show you a rich man who wants to be richer. I've never met a rich person. I should just end the sentence there. I know some people who are wealthy. I've never met a rich person who didn't want more money. Let's put it that way. So as far as Roger Goodell goes, just keep earning those paychecks. He's got the feud going with Jerry Jones. I think he's going to win that. Jerry Jones was just upset about the Zeke Elliott case. And Goodell, for the most part, has been a decent commissioner. The problem is he's had a couple very high-profile missteps. And he's been at the helm when things like the CTE cases have come to the forefront. And of course, you've got the elephant in the room, which is social justice and the players trying to use that to take a stand. And he's just had some really unfortunate timing as far as his tenure as commissioner is concerned. We'd be saying the same thing about Paul Tagliabue if he were still commissioner, or Pete Rozelle if he was still commissioner. Goodell's the one who's on the job right now when Aaron Hernandez is out murdering people and when Junior Seau is committing suicide and players are donating their bodies to science. And you can keep whistling past the graveyard all you want, but hey, your league has issues. And then you serve at the mercy of the owners and you start upsetting the owners by suspending their players, and you can eventually have a mutiny on your hands. Now, I got a couple people on the text line saying they don't think the NFL is going to look one iota different 5 years from now. It will be just as popular. It will be the same football, same rules. Nothing changes 5 years from now. I don't know about that. It's changed from the past 5 years. You know, if you look back at the NFL in 2012 and compare it to 2017, I think there's some changes. So 5 years from now, what's it going to look like? 319-366-1600.
8710 says that there's no data to support that more injuries happen on Thursdays. So I'm going to trust the players who have to play these Thursday night games on 4 days rest to tell me that it's a bad idea.
Who did we just have on the program? Oh, it was
Matt Bowen.
Matt Bowen, who said bad idea.
It's a terrible idea. And yeah, maybe there are not more documented injuries that happen on Thursday night, but those guys are not ready to play after 3 days rest. Every football player, if you talk to 100 football players, and I bet almost all of them would tell you that they don't start feeling whole again until about Wednesday. And then you have to turn right around and play another game on Thursday night. There is a very simple explanation as to why those matchups, even when they're between two good teams, are horrible. Because those guys are not ready to play.
1717 on the text line says, "You're on it. I called in a year or two ago and mentioned that the NFL is much like NASCAR, becoming way oversaturated and fewer interesting personalities. Add that to all the cameras, for example, the guy shaking in the end zone after a big hit and getting put back in for the next series. That was pretty scary looking. I wouldn't want to see that with my young kids." That and another problem that the NFL faces is it costs a ton of money to go to a game. A ton of money to go to a game. And you look at parking and tickets and food and all of that. It's not very family friendly. And people in this day and age, they're looking for family-friendly things to do, those people with families. Speaking of, if you have pictures of your kids, you may not want to randomly show them to strangers. We have the story out of Peoria, Illinois, coming for you in just a few minutes. But let's go to Don in Cedar Rapids. The NFL in 5 years, Don.
Well, I'm looking at the younger generation and how I am surprised that how they aren't as enthused as the prior generations are about the NFL and how their interests are so diverse and more not so much into sports in general. I just don't think that it's going to sustain its popularity.
And I can see that there's a number of of things going on with the younger viewers, and baseball's experiencing that. Every league is going through, not only sports leagues, but I just think you're constantly, look, we're doing in this business, we're talking about, you know, how much longer is radio going to be radio? Everything's podcast this and podcast that, and, you know, people are not necessarily listening to radio on the radio nowadays. They're listening on the Alexa, right? The Google Spot, or whatever the heck those things are called, or
Amazon Prime, I think, is what they're called.
Streaming through phones, and it's scary to sit here and think what this will look like 5 years from now. It'll be just as big of a train wreck, and I may not be here. I may be gone by then, but yeah, we don't know. But it's going to be fascinating to see. Hopefully we are around to sit back and say, remember that time in 2017 when we were wondering what the league was going to look like? How stupid do we all look today? It's bigger and better than ever. And Thursday Night Football comes your way with the Mexico City Redskins taking on the what franchise will have moved to Los Angeles again. By that, they'll have six teams in L.A., and none of them will be drawing well. 527, let's step aside, take a quick break. We come back, we'll have a big board update and a story that just warms your heart, especially if you love showing strangers photos of your children. Women on Facebook who share photos of their children, I'm talking to you. Back with more after this.
A piece of cake, a Sunday morning, ABC. Those are easy. So is earning a power rate and ATM refunds with power checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of power checking say they recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with power checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Douglas Hass. Are you wasting time worrying about timekeeping and scheduling instead of calling the plays for your business? The pros at Future Systems can handle all of your scheduling and timekeeping needs. With web-based timekeeping, your team can clock in whether they're at home or away. And when you add integrated scheduling, you can avoid a penalty flag for having too many players on the field. Call the All-Americans at Future Systems today at 800-453-5809 or learn more at future-systems.net.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Hey, Mark Lillibridge was in the studio a couple weeks ago. The former Iowa State football player spent some time in the NFL. He works for Mantality now. If you want to learn more about Mantality, you can go to a website, lowtusa.com. Low T, otherwise known as low testosterone, is a medical malady that affects men of all ages. You can be in your 20s and have low testosterone. You can be in your 50s and 60s and suffer from low testosterone. And sometimes you can't even tell. That's the thing of it. So Mantality has clinics all across the Midwest, including one now in North Liberty, conveniently located between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. Very easy to make an appointment. LowTUSA.com is the website to check out. You can go to their frequently asked questions, answers a number of them. You're dealing with actual board-certified physicians, nurse practitioners, real medical personnel dealing with a real medical problem here. And if you have regular or high levels of testosterone, then there's nothing that you need to worry about. And they will tell you that. But if you do find yourself with low testosterone, there is testosterone replacement therapy, TRT. It's 90% successful regardless of the physical condition of the patient. Mantality, lowtusa.com is the website to check out. 5:30, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn. I've been telling you this. I can't sum up this story, so I'm just going to read it. And it's sad, and it's a number of things. And This is from the Peoria Journal Star. And the lead here pretty much says it all. Upset over a baby photo shared at a tavern, a woman tried to shove a beer bottle into another woman's eye, police said. Story goes on. The Hogs and Dogs Saloon in Peoria.
Like a fine establishment.
Actually, it says rural Peoria. I've been to Peoria a number of times. Rural Peoria is not something that I ever thought I would find myself discussing. The story goes on. The 35-year-old woman said she had been sitting at the bar when she pulled out her cell phone to show a photo of a baby, according to a police report. Another woman, aged 43, approached the younger woman, grabbed her hair, and tried to jab a beer bottle into her eye, police said. The woman then dumped the bottle's contents onto the younger woman's head before exiting the establishment. And the story in here, the report did not clarify a motive for the attack. However, the victim told police that her assailant had, quote, been smoking crack for 5 days, and that's probably why she got so upset. Again, that's the Hogs and Dogs Saloon in rural Peoria, Illinois. 5721 West Farmington Road, for those of you who are up for making a road trip. I saw that people share photos of their... That's what Facebook has become. Facebook has become baby photo central. And... So there, you might want to think twice before you share that next photo of your little one. We don't put too
that's,
many.
That's the moral of the story?
That's the moral. It's not don't smoke crack. The story is
that's
quit
the moral.
Sharing photos don't of your photos. Children. No one wants to see them. And I say that as the father of a very adorable young boy. I look at my son every day and I go, man, you are awesome. You are funny. We laugh back and forth every day, and then I look at him and I say, and no one else cares. I do. I love you. Mommy loves you. No one else cares.
and you
it's
might
the
get
truth.
A beer bottle shoved in
and
your eye.
It's the truth. So just try to remember that about your own children. You think they're great. Me, the rest of the country, we don't. Your friends are tired of seeing the photos on Facebook. But what's the worst that can happen? We go to a big board update? No, that's not the worst that can happen. He's just telling me we need to go to a big board update. Brought to you by Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa's Josie Jewell and Josh Jackson cemented themselves today as maybe the best defensive duo to come through Iowa. The American Football Coaches Association named them first-team All-Americans, making it a clean sweep across all five major outlets and making them both unanimous All-Americans. They're Iowa's first pair of unanimous All-Americans since Chuck Long and Larry Station in 1985, and the Hawkeyes have actually now produced four in the last 4 years, including Desmond King and Brandon Scherf. Former Iowa State point guard Monte Morris made his NBA debut last night with his mother in attendance in Detroit. He made one assist with no turnovers in his 3 minutes, but today was sent back to the Rio Grande Valley Vipers of the G League. The Gazette released its second poll of the boys' high school basketball season. Iowa City West is the top-ranked team in Class 4A, with Cedar Rapids Prairie 6th. Cedar Rapids Xavier's number one in Class 3A, Western Christian in 2A, and Grandview Christian in 1A. They also released the area Super 10 girls rankings. City High is number one, followed by Iowa City West, Marion, CPU, and North Lynn in the top five. Cascade, Springville, Cedar Rapids Prairie, and Xavier and Iowa City Regina round out the top 10. Tonight after the show, there's no high school basketball, there's no NFL, so we're throwing things to Bristol, and you can have a night with the programming from the ESPN headquarters.
319-366-1600, that's the Hurteen and Stocker text line. You're also going to want to use it shortly, because if you're caller number 6, you're going to be seeing RCC Volume 14 at the U.S. Cellular Center coming up December 29th. It's a Friday night. 10 MMA bouts on the card. And those tickets are yours right now. Caller number 6, 319-366-1600. We'll find out who our winner is and try to get things back on track when we return. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. More after this.
The Ford year-end sales event is in full swing. For a limited time, get $1,000 cash back on top of 0% APR financing for 72 months on a full lineup of 2017 Ford vehicles. That's Ford, America's best-selling brand. Celebrate the season with exclusive holiday offers like 0% APR financing for 72 months, plus 1,000 Ford credit cash across a full lineup of Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for 1,000 financed regardless of down payment on cars, F-150, and SUVs. Not available on Ford GT, Fiesta, Focus RS, Mustang GT 350, 350R, Raptor, or Super Duty. Take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stock by January 2nd, 2018. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
Know what happens tonight? Indiana laughs. Like, as a state, Indiana laughs. You know why? Because Oklahoma City visits the Pacers, and Paul George will come onto the floor for the first time in Indy as a member of the Thunder. And just after that, Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis will be introduced as Pacers, and Indiana will laugh. Because, as of this very moment, they rocked the Thunder. With the offseason trade, everybody laughed at them for making. Remember the headline? Sam Presti fleeces the Pacers. Indiana blasted by OKC in the deal for Paul George. Oh, I do. But it's the Pacers who are laughing now. With Victor Oladipo having the best season of his career, and Sabonis capable of a double-double at any time. Oh, and a team that's five games over 500 and a legitimate threat in the East. While their former star, Paul George, who killed all leverage Indiana could have ever had by letting the world know he would leave after this season anyway, walks onto the floor with an OKC team that is the NBA's biggest flop so far. You know what? Good for Indiana. Enjoy the laugh. You've earned it. In 60 seconds, nothing in baseball's winter meetings can top what will absolutely be the best story of 2018.
Guys, the holiday challenge is on at JCPenney. Shop now and get her all the gifts she'll love, like select fine jewelry for up to 60% off, plus an extra 25% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. And get $10 off when you spend $25 or more with coupon on select items throughout the store and at JCP.com. Get everything on her list for less than you think. Hurry in now, JCPenney. Coupon valid 12/14 to 12/16. Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Other exclusions may apply. See store or JCP.com for details.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
With all due respect to any trades that may or may not happen this week at baseball's winter meetings or to the Judge Stanton Sanchez middle of the order the Yankees will throw out, the baseball story I can't wait to see next season is without question Shohei Ohtani. How will the Angels use this most unique of big leaguers? The 23-year-old Japanese sensation with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and bat capable of hitting 330 with 20 bombs. Baseball hasn't seen a player like him in our lifetimes, and I can only wonder if he's the beginning of something we may start to see more of. The gifted pitcher who isn't told to focus solely on his golden arm, but allowed to flourish in the field and batter's box on days away from the mound. I certainly hope so. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
Guys, the holiday challenge is on at JCPenney. Shop now and get her all the gifts she'll love, like select fine jewelry for up to 60% off, plus an extra 25% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. And get $10 off when you spend $25 or more with coupon on select items throughout the store and at JCP.com. Get everything on her list for less than you think. Hurry in now, JCPenney. Coupon valid 12/14 to 12/16. Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Other exclusions may apply. See store or JCP.com for details.
Whew, sorry I'm late. Ready to tee off?
Dude, you're glowing gold.
Yeah, stopped by Shell on the way to the course and got rewarded with instant gold status.
Cool. Does it do anything?
Yeah, it saves me 5 cents per gallon on every fill every day.
Whoa.
And it crushes the long ball. Watch this. Nope, it just saves at Shell.
Get rewarded at Shell when you join the Fuel Rewards program now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons per transaction at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for details. Doesn't actually turn bodies gold.
Welcome back in, 5:40, officially past the halfway point of a Wednesday edition of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show. Congratulations going out to Josh in Ely. He's going to be headed to the U.S. Cellular Center later this month, the 29th, for RCC Volume 14, 10 MMA bouts, one card, one ticket price. Tickets on sale now at the U.S. Cellular Center box office or Ticketmaster.com. 6 o'clock showdown on the way for you tonight, kicking off hour number 3. Tristan Cockcroft not with us tonight, although we may take a stab at answering your fantasy football questions. Lots more to get to, but I want to get to the names have emerged in the Cardinals' deal with the Marlins for Marcell Ozuna. And it's 4 names. Only 2 of them are considered top 10 prospects. And I think this is a very, very good trade for the Cardinals to have made. They're giving up Sandy Alcantara, who, depending on where you look at for the prospect rankings, and I heard you guys talking earlier today about the number 9 prospect being the top prospect. That's MLB pipeline. MLB's ratings are garbage. Don't go by those.
Baseball America is a better indicator?
Baseball America and Baseball Prospectus are far better than MLB Pipeline. MLB Pipeline is garbage. Baseball Prospectus, which conveniently enough came out with their Cardinals top 10 prospect list today, has Magnera Sierra number 3 in the organization and Alcantara 5. And Baseball America had Alcantara 4 and Sierra 7. So you're getting 2 top 10 prospects from an organization that is in the upper third of Major League Baseball as far as minor league systems go, and then a couple other sort of throw-in prospects here. But these are not necessarily guys. Look, Sierra, and granted he came up last year from high Class A, so it was a very big jump to the major leagues, and I've seen him myself. I think he's an impressive player. He's not the type of guy that you're going to build a franchise around. And Alcantara, even though he's very tantalizing, I think you and I both agree, we were talking earlier today, probably winds up as a relief pitcher. If everything clicks, he could be a very good front-of-the-rotation starting pitcher, but more likely than not, you've got yourself a dominant relief pitcher. You moved a guy who hit 37 home runs and drove in 124 runs for a package that is basically a fourth outfielder, or at the very least a bottom-tier starting outfielder in Sierra, a guy who's got a lot of speed, decent defense, and not much else going for him, and a pitcher who is still a work in progress.
What the hell are they doing?
I don't understand. And that's what I want to talk about here coming up either right now or sometime in the 6 o'clock hour, is how Major League Baseball can stand by and watch what's taking place with the Marlins and say this is in our best interest. Because the Marlins fans have lived this nightmare twice before under different ownership. Wayne Huizenga, the guy who owned Blockbuster, he was the first to have a fire sale after the 1997 World Series. And then Jeffrey Loria had a similar fire sale after the Marlins won in 2003. They beat the Yankees. That was the same year the Marlins survived the National League Championship Series against the Chicago Cubs. Some people will refer to that as the year that Steve Bartman and Moises Alou tangled over the foul ball, neither here nor there. So this is the third time in this franchise's history, they've only been around since 1993, that they've gone through this fire sale. But there doesn't appear to be a plan to rise from the ashes here. This appears to be Major League Baseball signing off on the sale of the Marlins to a group of people who had enough money to buy the team, but not enough money to run the team successfully. And rather than baseball saying, you know what, this isn't going to be a good idea because when you sell you the team, you're just going to trade all, you're going to dump these contracts, and it's going to be bad for the league, bad for the product, and most importantly, bad for these Marlins fans. Major League Baseball said, hey, okay, we'll sell you the ball. Oh, Jeter? We're going to get to keep Derek Jeter around, and he's going to be the face of the franchise, even though he only owns 4% of it. So where do we sign? And I feel bad for fans of the Marlins, and they do exist. There aren't a whole lot of them, judging by the attendance. Remember, they got this shiny new ballpark. They were going to fill it up. Well, no, that didn't happen. And they've got these young star players, and this is a franchise that suffered a tremendous loss with the passing of Jose Fernandez. Just, you don't recover from that. That was an ace, a top five, top 10 starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. And for many, many years to come, with all of this young talent, Stanton and Yelich and Ozuna, D. Gordon, who's been traded to the Mariners, they sold the franchise to an ownership group that didn't have enough money to run the team. They knew that this was going to happen. And now everybody sits back and watches as Derek Jeter and his fellow investors, owners, dismantle this team piece by piece by piece. And they're not even getting solid value back on their pieces. If you're a Marlins fan, the state of the minor league system as it is right now in Miami and the prospects that are coming back to this team, there's not much hope for this team over the course of the next 6 or 7 years. I mean, the Cubs had a plan. The Astros had a plan. The Marlins are making this up as they go.
Yeah, my question is why are they not asking for more in return for these players? And I understand the Giancarlo
they
Stanton.
They don't have the leverage because everybody in baseball knows they want to dump them. They want to dump the contracts.
So there's basically there's no way that teams know there's no way that they're not going to trade some of these players. So they lowball them and they accept the trade.
Look, if you had something of value, and you got into a cash crunch. Let's say you lost your job and you needed to come up with the money to pay the rent. And I say, hey, I've always wanted that painting that you've got. And is it for sale? Everybody knows you just lost your job and you don't have any money and you need it. Yeah, it's for sale. Well, what's it worth? I'll sell it to you for $500. That's fair price. Yeah, you really need the money though, and I got $350 in my wallet. So I'll give you $350. You need the money, or you could just hang on to the painting. That's fine. Hey, hang on to it. That's no big deal. Everybody knows the Marlins don't have any leverage. And so they've been able to not necessarily take them to the cleaners here, but they're getting extreme value for the trades. And the big one is going to be Christian Yelich, because he's got 5 years of team control left, as Ozuna has two, which is still very good in the economics of modern day baseball. But for 5 years of team control with a player of Yelich's talents, that should bring a boatload of talent back to the Marlins. And I don't know whether or not they're going to get a boatload of talent for him. And then at the end of the day, what are you left with? You're left with essentially a Triple-A baseball team. You're trying to sell your fans on season tickets and coming out to the ballpark, and looking at Derek Jeter in the owner's box isn't going to sell tickets. No offense. I am flabbergasted by this, because as a baseball fan, this is not good.
No, it's
for
terrible.
The game.
It feels like, and since we're going to have Tristan tomorrow, I'll make this comparison today. It feels like the guy or gal who's in your fantasy football league who is losing and doesn't have anything left to lose during the course of a season, so he or she gives you their best player for nothing in return, and it throws off the rest of the league. Now, as a Cardinals fan, I absolutely love the fact that Marcelo Zuna is going to be wearing the birds on the bat next season, but it just, you really feel bad for, like you said, for the Marlins fans. And Tom in Norway, it's interesting.
I'm laughing at it right now.
You've just described an episode of Pawn Stars. Funny you bring that up, Tom.
Who would be Rick in that? And the old man? That'd be the guys going to the Marlins, right? Derek Jeter walks into the pawn shop and says, I've got this rare copy of the Constitution. And John Mozeliak goes, I'll give you $50 for it. That's Pawn Stars. What's it worth? $500? I'll give you $25 for it. Hey, man, I got to make money here, too.
Did you hear Scott Boras's comments today when talking about the Miami Marlins?
He
said that the Miami Marlins were a jewelry store that has turned into a pawn shop.
Referred to MLB franchises as jewelry stores, and MLB has turned one of its jewelry stores into a pawn shop. I can't argue with that. Is that show still on, by the way? I used to enjoy watching it. Hey, I've got this really rare Beatles album. Yeah, get the, I don't know much about this, so let me call a friend of mine who happens to be an expert in Beatles album. He has friends who are experts in everything. They come in, they take a look at the Beatles album. Oh, wow, this is fantastic. This is a first pressing limit of $15,000 right here on this very easily. That's great. I'll give you $750 for it. Hey, I got to make money here, too. Every episode was the same. Either the item was fake, thanks for coming in and wasting my time, or it's real and I'll give you like 5% here, and his excuse was always, hey, I got to make money here. Hey, I'm not running a charity. I got to make money here.
John Mozeliak, I got to make some money here, so and I'm going to give you a future fourth outfielder and a guy who may be a starter, probably.
They interviewed Jeter in the parking lot outside of the pawn shop, and he says, well, I wasn't going to part ways with Christian Yelich, but at least I know he's going to go to someone who's going to enjoy him. 319-366-1600.
And they said that
they move Yelich. They've got nothing.
I get
nothing.
That. Nothing. But I feel like they're still going to move Yelich. And by the report came out earlier today that the Marlins plan to keep Yelich. Is that a move to try to gain some leverage and possibly get somewhat of a better haul in return for him? 5 years should get you a big time haul. But knowing the way things are going for the Marlins, it might not.
And again, it comes down to the fact that everybody in baseball knows that they have no leverage because Yelich is going to eventually, if he has not done so already, and depending on what reports you've read, gone to management and said, I know I wanted to stay, but you just traded D. Gordon, Stanton, and now Ozuna, and I don't want to be here anymore. Trade me too. And I'm not going to fault him for that. And then what you're left with is a team of the Marlins will look like a team that you could have based Major League around, like Jake Taylor, yes, from the Mexican League and, Rube Baker, the guy who can't throw the ball back to the pitcher to save his life. That's what the Marlins are going to be. They're going to be a bunch of just cheap replacement parts.
I was going to say.
As a masquerading as a Major League Baseball team, and Rob Manfred signed off on this. That, to me, is a story that I think deserves more discussion. Baseball wanted Derek Jeter to be part of the ownership group and to keep him around because everybody loves Derek Jeter. He's the face of baseball, was before he retired. 4% ownership. Tearing the team to the ground, not getting decent players back in return. This is not good for baseball, but it's good for Derek Jeter because they're going to still make money on this, right? Who cares about the fans? 319-366-1600, 555. We'll step aside, take a quick break. We come back, we'll have another big board update for you. More on the way after this.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
Quick in, quick out. Here's Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. Midwest One has over 40 locations across the corridor for all of your banking needs.
Iowa's Josie Jewell and Josh Jackson cemented themselves today as maybe the best defensive duo to come through the University of Iowa. The American Football Coaches Association named them first-team All-Americans, making it a clean sweep across all five major outlets and making them both unanimous All-Americans. It's Iowa's first pair of unanimous All-Americans since Chuck Long and Larry Station did it in 1985, and the Hawkeyes have actually now produced four in the last 4 years, including Desmond King and Brandon Scherf. Former Iowa State point guard Monte Morris made his NBA debut last night with his mother in attendance in Detroit. He made one assist with no turnovers in his 3 minutes, but today was sent back to the Rio Grande Valley Vipers of the G League. The Gazette released its second poll of the boys' high school basketball season. Iowa City West is the top-ranked team in Class 4A, with Cedar Rapids Prairie 6th. Cedar Rapids Xavier is number 1 in Class 3A, Western Christian in 2A, and Grandview Christian in 1A. They also released the Area Super 10 Girls Ranking. City High is number 1, followed by Iowa City West. Marion, CPU, and North Lynn round out the top 5, with Cascade, Springville, Cedar Rapids Prairie, and Cedar Rapids Xavier, and Iowa City Regina rounding out the top 10. Tonight after the show, we don't have any high school basketball, no NFL, no nothing. So we're going to throw things to Bristol, and you can have a night with the programming from ESPN headquarters.
6 o'clock showdown coming up for you in a matter of minutes. We've got a pair of movie passes to any of the Marcus Theater's locations, and that's what we've got for you to kick off hour number three. Keeping an eye on what's going on at the winter meetings in Orlando. Major League Baseball getting ready to wind things down, officially coming to a close tomorrow with the Rule 5 draft, but today is largely viewed as the final day of the meetings. Still no official word on Toby Gardenhire as the manager of the Cedar Rapids Colonels. When that word is official, we'll have him on the program to talk about what to expect at Veterans Memorial Stadium coming up in 2018. 2 hours down, one to go. Back after this.